Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romaine.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
Welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
And I'm Jesse Hitt.
And today is Saturday, August 3rd, 2019.
Year's almost, what are we, three quarters of the way done? Two thirds of the way, something like that?
Yeah,
that's wild.
Fractions.
Almost. Yeah. Man.
Fractions of the way done for this year. Oh my God, it's going to be 2020 soon.
Yeah, that's crazy.
We're in the year of Blade Runner.
I know. None of the cars fly.
Nope. Cars still don't fly.
Probably for the best, actually.
They hover here.
Oh, yeah.
In military land.
Yeah.
And they can hover over water.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I've seen those.
So, I mean, that's kind of like flying.
Yeah. I'm actually glad we don't have flying cars.
I know. We'll
people
just crash into
trouble.
Each other.
Yeah.
They can't drive on the ground
yet.
Yeah,
imagine like somebody rear-ending you and then you just fall 10,000 feet also. Like, everyone's just going to die all the time.
Totally. I don't think we'll be able to fly in cars unless, like, people can't control their cars.
Yeah, that's true.
We need to have self-driving cars.
And even then, those when they tried to test that one, it just immediately killed somebody.
Yeah.
Let's just stick with the regular cars.
Right. We already kill each other enough.
Or maybe move away from cars entirely and get sort of a more robust public transit infrastructure.
That would be cool.
We could do that, I think.
Well, I think. Wasn't Elon Musk trying to do that?
Yeah, and it turns out it's impossible.
Oh, yeah.
His ideas are bad.
Elon Musk is not even a dipshit. They're like
that's true.
Paying somebody else like thousands and millions of dollars to think of good ideas, and their ideas aren't good either.
Yeah.
Now he wants to implant things into our brains and control us.
Yeah, that seems like a terrible idea.
AI.
It's like, do you read the Michael Crichton, The Terminal Man?
Yes.
That might be my favorite of the Michael Crichton things. That's the one that holds up that I think I've reread the most times.
I like Andromeda Strain.
Ooh, that was solid too. Really, you know what? Sphere was actually pretty good.
That's good too.
Yeah, he's a pretty good writer.
He's a pretty good writer.
He's really bad politically, but kind of a dipshit. But, you know.
He's dead now. Good.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay, well, sorry. Sorry, man. R.I.P. Doc. I didn't mean to say your shitty politics were bad. Oh, yes, I guess I did.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, he didn't believe in global warming, and why would he? He's not going to live long enough to see it anyway.
Nope. Wait, he didn't believe in global warming?
No, he was like a climate change denier towards the end of his life, yeah.
About dinosaurs.
Well, people would kind of hold him up too as like an expert. They'd be like, well, this is a guy who does his research before he writes his books. And it's like, yeah, but the guys who are actual scientists say that it is happening. So maybe let's listen to them instead.
Right. But he like did all those dinosaurs. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Dinosaur books.
He just got crotchety towards the end of his life, I think, and became sort of a contrarian.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Usually science fiction guys are pretty cool.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh, well.
Stanley Roberts.
Yeah.
Ray Bradbury stayed pretty cool, I think, till the end of his life.
Yeah, Philip K. Dick, who died very early.
Yeah, Frank Herbert, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I guess I don't.
I don't know.
His son took over the Dune franchise and made it suck.
Destroyed it.
People just kept reading it.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's not the same, right? You don't have to stick with this
thing. You don't have to read all of them. William Gibson's still cool.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He's still writing good
stuff.
He is
still writing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the one, the Archangel, the one that he just did, the comic. That was solid.
Yeah. And Alien 3 just came out in comic form.
Yeah.
And it's so much better.
Yeah, and it's like $20 for the hardcover.
Yeah.
That rules.
Yeah.
Speaking of good comics.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff this week.
Yeah, there is. But we're mostly just going to focus on the big one that we already sold out of. So
right.
If you want a copy of it, I'm sorry. Yeah, you can't have it.
Long awaited. We'll be getting the second print that they already did or already announced and already ordered or something.
Well, we tried to order it and it was already on back order. So I put I put in an order for it and we're going to cross our fingers that we're going to get it.
Wow.
There's a third printing already, too.
Okay.
So if we can't get the second print, we'll get the third print. But it's not coming out till September.
Yeah. Oh, that sucks.
I know.
We're talking, of course, about the Jonathan Hickman's reboot of the entire X-Men franchise, starting with the two books designed to be read sort of in parallel. They come out once a week. The first one, House of X, came out week before last.
Yeah.
And then Powers of 10, but it looks like Powers of X on the cover. But I guess you're supposed to say Powers of 10.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Did they really announce that, though?
I don't know. Oh. I've heard people saying it.
Yeah, people keep saying it.
Yeah, and on the inside cover of it, they show like X to the first, X squared, X to the third. So I think maybe that's what, and it's factors. So the first book, House of X, which came out, is like...
We're going to talk about that one first.
Yeah, because that's the one you're supposed to read first.
Right.
It's like a sort of a straightforward reboot of... The X, not like a reboot, I guess, in that they don't go back to the beginning, but they just drop you into present day and sort of explain things that have happened. There's been another humans versus mutants, big war thing. The mutants almost got wiped out. And under the guidance of Professor X, they've established their home on an island. And they're sort of
a secret island.
Yeah. And they're like a sovereign nation that wants to live in peace with humanity, but will not be governed by humanity. They're going to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And they think they have a space area also,
yes,
don't they?
Yes, they do. Yeah. They have like a space station, basically.
Yeah. And their whole thing is run by this flower.
Yes, the Krakoa flower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can plant it somewhere and it'll grow like a habitat that's livable. And also everywhere that it grows will be a portal to anywhere else another Krakoa flower is growing.
Right.
And they can use it to produce drugs that are beneficial to both humans and mutants.
Right. I think it only has... properties that are beneficial, like health-wise, to humans.
Oh, yep. You know what? You're right.
Yeah. And three different types of drugs, too.
Yeah. And they're using this as sort of a bargaining chip with humanity. They're saying, like, hey, we'll give you these miracle drugs for free.
Yeah.
All we ask is that you leave us the fuck alone.
Right.
Which seems like a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And each of the drugs are really cool, too.
Yeah.
One drug gives you, extends your life, for 5 years.
Yeah, human drug L. Which, how do they... No, exactly 5 years. Like, wouldn't it be crazy if you took it and then you died exactly 5 years later? And it was like, whoa, you took it just in time.
Yeah.
Like, right on the day you were about to die.
Maybe that's how they know.
Yeah. It seems it has sort of like a magical, it's not like strictly a biological thing.
You know? Yeah, definitely. One of them, the flower produces an adaptive universal antibiotic. It's a super drug for humans, and that's human drug I.
Yeah, basically cure any sort of infection or bacterial or viral thing.
Right. And then human drug M, this flower produces a drug that cures diseases of the mind.
So like everything. Like they basically have a panacea that, and will also extend your life for exactly 5 years.
Right.
Which is the one I'm really hung up on.
Yeah. Like,
how do they do? What if it's they give you the pill and then just in five, that little timer goes off and someone just comes and kills you 5 years later?
Ew.
And they're like, ooh, technically
it's
said
5 years. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, how do they know? Like, what if your lifespan... I mean, because everyone's lifespan is different, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and,
how
like,
does it
what
know?
What if you are a smoker?
Yeah.
Or what if you have some kind of disease?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does a flower know?
What if you take the flower pill and then you immediately jump off a building?
Yeah.
Are you invincible for 5 years? Because technically extend your life by 5 years.
That is a weird one.
You could probably still die in an accident, I would guess. I'm guessing it just makes sure that you don't medically die for 5 years.
Yeah. I don't know. That one's weird.
But doesn't that also cover the antibiotic thing? Because if you take it.
Right.
Well, I guess you could still get sick. You could still get like a cold or something.
Yeah.
But you just wouldn't die.
It just literally. Maybe you only take that pill if you have a disease and it extends your life for 5 years.
Yeah, like a terminal illness.
A terminal illness. Like if you have cancer, would it extend your life for 5 years if you were sick?
Right, because the antibiotic wouldn't take care of cancer.
No.
Because that's just a cell overgrowth.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I have questions, Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to get down to the bottom of
this. And I'm sure if anyone has thought this completely through, it's Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah, probably.
He has all of these answers.
He definitely has these answers.
Rattling around
and
said that crazy ass brain.
Maybe we'll get to that in the next issue.
Yeah.
So basically every single issue has lots of informational pages.
Yeah. And they're very helpful and very informative and concise. Like it's just as long as it needs to be.
Right. And just like Black Monday Murders, there's a new language that has been written.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Oh, because the flowers, the Krakoa flowers are also sort of have a collective consciousness.
Right.
And like communicate with each other and with all mutants now.
Yeah. So Professor X... by the way, we should mention that Professor X is walking.
Yeah,
he's very young.
Yep.
And he's got a Cerebro helmet on.
Yeah.
All the time.
He looks like that. Who was the bad guy?
Reed Richards. He's the bad Reed Richards.
Yeah. With the helmet thing.
Yeah.
And the black leotard.
The ultimate Reed Richards.
Yeah, he looks like that.
Yeah.
But he seems mostly nice, but not the super peaceful, overall benevolent Professor X that we know
with
from
him.
The past. Yeah, there's something going on.
Definitely.
Because he's cloning mutants.
Is he cloning himself?
Is he a clone?
Is he a clone?
Is this even the real Professor X? Because
no.
It seems like it probably isn't.
No.
And that's going to be a plot point later.
He's probably from another universe, is my guess. I'm going to guess these flowers are from another universe.
Mm-hmm.
Is this another universe?
Yeah. And they're like setting up that people, like, that they want to live sort of in parallel with humanity. But it's almost in like sort of a menacing, like kind of sinister way. They're like, it's not like they're saying like, Magneto is like the ambassador kind of.
Yes.
But bad choice for ambassador. He's a very menacing person.
Yeah.
Understandably so. He's been persecuted by humans his entire life.
Right.
But yeah, it's like a menacing. They're like, hey, don't mess with us or else.
Right.
Like, we will wipe out humanity if we have to. It's sort of like the underlying. And we have the ability to.
Yeah, and another interesting thing, too, is we have different characters that look like they're from the last arc of X-Men, but also ones that have been pulled from other universes, maybe.
Yeah.
So Magneto definitely looks like the current Magneto in that white suit and everything. But then we have Jean Grey, who's definitely the older Jean Grey.
Yeah, the like Marvel girl.
The Marvel girl.
Yeah, with the costume and everything.
Yeah.
And like classic Storm, like 90s Storm also.
Yes.
Long hair, Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolverine, too.
And he's like Wolverine.
We got brown and yellow suit Wolverine.
Yeah. So it's definitely a whole new X-Men. But yeah, some of them have been from other universes, or maybe some of them are from this universe or our old one. Or maybe they've been pulled all from different universes and it's all just going to come into this storyline. We should also mention that going along that same arc, maybe this Krakoa all has different habitats, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Secret Wars.
Yeah, and there's the House of M is there.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's kind of like the not the Badlands, but what do they call it? The dinosaur place with all that stuff in it.
Oh,
The Savage Lands?
The Savage Lands,
yeah.
And, what do they call that? The Wild or something like that, or the Grove. One of those places. But yeah, there's the House of X, the House of M, Arbor Magna, the arena, which I believe is from Secret Wars.
Yeah, the battle area. Or the training area, one giant danger room, maybe.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
And then, was it Academos Habitat?
Yeah, where the smart mutants go.
Right.
Where the smart mutants go to learn.
Yeah, so he's avoiding, or he's like taking them and all putting them in different environments.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, so they're not all together.
And developing different teams, kind of, probably.
Yeah,
like the way
exactly.
And we also
he's
get
segregating
to,
them.
Oh, interesting. Which seems to be against the whatever his ethics are about, like, you know, all mutants together.
Yeah.
And it's cool, like, the way that Hickman, like, throws in different looking versions of X-Men from different timelines. It's almost like he's trying to say, like, don't try to apply your previous knowledge of X-Men to any of this. Like, just take it as it comes.
Right.
And I like that. As somebody who hasn't followed an X-Men story in a very long time, it's like, all right, dude, I'm in.
Yeah,
I'm
totally
along for the ride. We get to see classic Mystique and Sabretooth and the frog guy.
Toad,
there you go. Yeah, not frog. That's that's the other kind. And there's sort of a key scene in here where we jump to Mystique and Sabretooth and Toad doing some kind of like heist, and Sabretooth's killing everybody.
Yeah.
Mystique's leading the team, and then the Fantastic Four intervene.
Right.
And they catch, they almost catch everybody. They do catch Sabretooth.
Right.
And then the mutants show up and they say, hey, Fantastic Four, leave the mutants alone. Cyclops, like classic Cyclops, shows up and is like, greetings, like, hey, nice to see you guys. Now we're going to take the mutants back because we have jurisdiction. It's almost like mutants have, like, diplomatic immunity when they're in the human world.
Diplomatic immunity.
Yeah, totally. And there's kind of a tense standoff between Cyclops and Reed Richards.
Yeah.
And Cyclops is being a nerd-ass cop like he always is.
Yep. He gets him, like, a little wink. Yeah. Like a Cyclops wink. He's like, all right, well, fair enough. Like, I mean, Reed Richards is kind of, he's not going to, both of them are kind of nerds, right? So they're like, no, this is my guy. Yeah. And Cyclops is like, well, I got to take him. And finally, Cyclops is like, all right, well, you win this round, Reed Richards. Yeah. And they end up keeping Sabretooth. And Sue looks real depressed about it, too.
Yeah.
Something's definitely amiss there.
And then he says something about Sue Storm's son.
Oh, Franklin.
Franklin Summers.
Yeah.
Being a mutant. Or Franklin. What was his last? Franklin Richards?
Franklin Richards, yeah.
Sue, she kept her maiden name, didn't she?
Richards.
Yeah, no, she got married and took Richards.
Yeah, I think she's Sue Richards.
So their son is a mutant.
Right.
And Cyclops makes it very clear that when their son wants to come be with his own kind. Like, he's very explicit about that.
It's something to do with Secret Wars. Okay. Something happens there. And he left that in there. He's like, because I wrote Secret Wars.
Oh, okay. That's part of the Hickman.
So somehow he's a mutant. He was born a mutant.
Yeah.
So, they do a little nod to Secret Wars in there. It is a lot. It just takes about, like...
It's pretty dense.
45 minutes to read, I will tell you that.
Yeah, for $5.99, it fucking better be.
Yeah, that's true.
for twice the amount.
It is not cheap. And then after every issue, too, and when we get into Powers of X and X, there is a bunch of language stuff in the back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how are we supposed to decipher this?
Yeah.
We need a smart person to decipher this language
in
the back.
Let's get a linguist in here and a cryptographer.
Yep.
And then in the final scene, Magneto is sort of entertaining an envoy of humans that have come to negotiate in Krakoa.
Right.
And then it turns out the humans are not who they said they were. They're all sort of armed, like almost spy type of guys. And we're setting up another, like, human versus mutant conflict. Like,
of course.
Humans are trying to double cross the mutants.
Yeah, they want to know what's going on inside of there.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, the mutants are like, no, like, fuck off. This is ours. Our space.
Alone.
Yeah.
We got our own island.
Mm-hmm. And we got the triplets in there still.
Yeah.
I guess the other ones are dead still. They just brought them back in the last arc of X-Men.
Oh, really?
So sad. Oh, I was like, no.
Poor triplets.
Yep.
Killed off and brought back.
Yep. They're never, I guess they're too powerful when it's all the cuckoos are alive.
That's true.
Yeah.
They know everything.
They know everything. Oh, yeah. So they figure out what's going on real quick. He doesn't kill them, though.
Right. That was nice of him.
Yeah. So he's all right. But he just basically proves that they're too powerful. The mutants are too powerful.
Yeah. And then he sort of menacingly says, we're your new gods or something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which, hey, man, you don't have to taunt people. Like, we're just trying to live our lives.
Well, they wanted to steal their shit.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
And then we get to Powers of X.
Yeah.
And I did not expect... I didn't know what to expect for the next issue.
And then we find out that the House of X is a storyline within the Powers of X or Powers of 10, whichever you want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
The Powers that they set it up is like, what is it, three separate eras. There's like one, which is like the origin of the X-Men. There's 10 years later, which is where House of X is taking place.
Yes.
There's 100 years later, which is where there's the big... humans and machines versus mutants war.
Right.
And then there's a thousand years in the future where humans are like extinct, basically. And mutants and machines have teamed up and taken everything over. Or maybe they've merged. And,
I think they merged.
It's unclear.
Is what it is.
Yeah. Because everybody has a robot Borg looking faces, kind of.
Yeah. Yes.
So yeah, there's four different storylines going on.
Yes.
And he does a really good job of like setting that up in a way that's like, pretty clear, not confusing.
Well,
and the time jumps are like pretty explicit.
Yes,
so.
The time jumps are easily explained, which I thought the thing that was most helpful was like the text pages. I thought,
yeah, true,
and gave us a little history lesson about what was going on. Like when they talk about like the Sinister line, so like
because
he's rewriting like Mr. Sinister's history and like how he made this like mutant breeding program that like failed basically.
Yeah, but they were able to single out the various X genes, like which thing gives you which power.
Right.
And then at first they just would purposely clone somebody with a certain power. And then they started combining different powers.
Right.
So we get to meet one of the main character of Powers of 10 is like, Her last name is Rasputin, so yeah, she's a descendant of
Colossus,
and she can be metal, but she's also a shapeshifter.
Yes.
She also has magic's giant glowing sword.
Yes.
She's also psychic.
Yeah.
She has some sort of healing power. They do the cool thing where they have like a stat breakdown on one of the pages like they used to do on the backs of the X
cards,
the Marvel trading cards. Yeah.
I was like, wow, she's pretty rad.
Yeah. Her telepathic power is X6.
Yeah.
That's probably out of 10, I would guess. Maybe it's out of 8. Who knows? But it's pretty high.
I think it's out of 10.
It should be, right?
Right? I
would
imagine.
Although, who knows with Hickman?
I don't know.
Maybe he's working with a base 12 counting system. He's living in the year 3030.
Oh, my God. Maybe he's an X-Men.
Yeah, maybe this is like a metaphor for him manipulating the Marvel Universe. And
holy
he's
shit,
Professor
man.
X in the secret fishbowl helmet.
I mean, that would totally make sense.
Yeah.
In the long run.
I feel like he might see himself as a crazy mastermind.
Probably.
He probably kind of is.
I mean, he never goes out.
Yeah, that's true.
He is a hermit.
Yeah. And he is very manipulative as a writer, delaying issues and not finishing storylines.
That's so true.
Keeping everybody guessing all the time.
Yes. Yeah, she was my favorite new character.
She's pretty rad.
Sure, though. She's pretty awesome.
What's her, do we get her first name any point?
We?
Or her code name?
We do get her. I think we get
but it
her
basically
code
throws
name.
Us, we get kind of a flashback to year zero or year one.
Yes.
Which is 10 years before the House of X, which we just read.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Professor X talking to Moira MacTaggert. And they're at like kind of a carnival or something, which is maybe the first gathering of mutants when everything is all idyllic and everybody's having a good time.
Yeah.
And then it immediately jumps into this sort of post-apocalyptic future where mutants have been mostly wiped out and are on the run. And at war with the Nimrod, who's like the supercomputer / universal intelligence that humans have created to help hunt down and eliminate the mutant
threat. And like the upgrade of the Sentinels, pretty much.
Yeah, totally. And the scare, the three-faced Sentinels that also have mind-reading things.
Mm-hmm.
And the Human-Machine Alliance has cloned mutants specifically to help them.
Right.
Called Hounds, that are like made to hunt other mutants. But then it turns out they all turn on their masters.
Right.
And become allied with the mutant rebels.
Yeah. And there's only 10,000 mutants left at
too.
Yeah. It's pretty intense.
It really is, yeah. It's almost like it's got kind of like a Terminator feel where like, uh-oh, the mutants have almost lost at this point.
Yeah.
And Nimrod is really, I thought the way that Hickman wrote Nimrod was really good as like sort of this like all-powerful, fake nice, kind of like an asshole boss. Like, you know, one of those bosses is just always smiling, but you know that like in their head, they're just calculating a way to like squeeze the most possible labor out of you while paying you as little as possible. Nimrod's definitely like that. Like they capture one of the hounds who's like been assisting the mutants and they're about to like painfully interrogate them. And Nimrod's like, hey, listen, I'm sorry, but I have to torture you for information. I really don't want to.
I really don't want to do it, man.
I have to, you know, like I don't really have a choice.
Yep. And, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
They talk about, like, mutant breeding camps, like, and then, like, one of the best things is, like, Wolverine coming. And Wolverine, Magneto, what looks like Groot.
Yeah, like a version of Groot.
Although
he's an alien, isn't he? He's not a mutant.
Be Groot.
Yeah. But he wouldn't be allied with the mutants, would he? I mean, he would, but he's alien, so does he count? Well, I guess they'll probably take allies wherever they can find him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the background guy kind of looks like a little bit of a Ghost Rider feel.
It does, yeah.
And they talk about the different classes of mutants that they've bred and how, like, there's sort of a kind, there's a, like a Nightcrawler type of guy, but and that's like a whole group that are, like, incapable of violence. Like, it's physically impossible for them to fight.
Yep.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's
they're
really cool.
They're like a sort of a priest class.
Yes. And then, did you get who the old guy was in the tube?
I thought it was maybe Professor X.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Because it looks like him, but also there's probably a lot of bald people. Although, wait, does it have the black skull?
Black skull.
So I think that's the old mutant that they capture in the very beginning. Because the other thing about these hounds is that they have like a black head cap. They call it a black brain that prevents their minds from being read by other mutants.
Okay.
So I think that's the mutant. They jump to the thousand years in the future.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mutant they capture at the very beginning or in the middle of this issue.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if that was the same mutant or if it was Professor X that also had one of those black helmets or
maybe
something.
Maybe he does. Maybe that's why he's wearing the hat all the time.
It makes more sense that because they say that's Nimrod's like castle or whatever the hell it is. They talk about that. So that would make sense that they still have that same brain reader or whatever. Hound. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, crazy. There's another new issue that comes out next week.
On.
Yeah. So House of X is next again on August 7th. And then it's crazy. Then there's two issues of Powers of X.
Oh, like
back to back.
Back to back before another issue
before,
of House of X?
Yeah. So and then there's two issues of House of X.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's for the artist's sake or if the story has to go that way. I guess it has to go.
Yeah.
We'll see. I guess. Next week.
I feel like you could. Well, I think you could have read these in the opposite order. Like you could read Powers of X first,
well,
and then
it does
House
have,
of X.
It has a couple stories. I mean, they do go back. I mean, you need to know all about Krakoa first before.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, and so you do have to read House of X, I think.
Okay, they need to stop trusting Mr. Sinister with stuff.
Oh,
his
yeah.
name is Mr. Sinister. Yeah.
Why would you ever trust
he's
anybody
not
with
Mr. Helpful Smart? Is just yeah. Come on, of course he's going to double cross you. Ugh. Of course he's working on some underhanded shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's his whole thing. Look at his teeth. They're so pointy.
You can chop off his head and he's still alive.
Yeah. So, like, listen, you're not supposed to judge people based on how they look, but I feel if somebody looks extremely evil,
yeah,
you know, and they've made themselves look that way on purpose, then it's safe to assume they're probably up to no good.
Probably
like, it doesn't
not
matter
a good
how
guy.
Smart he is.
And he probably named himself that.
Oh, that's true.
I don't think anybody else gave him that title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or he went with it, so at least
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he didn't say, hey, come on. Like, I know I look evil, but I'm actually a pretty nice guy.
Pretty nice guy. I mean, because Nightcrawler, I mean, he doesn't look very trustworthy.
That's true. He looks
either.
Scary. Yeah.
He looks pretty scary, but Nightcrawler's not the most nice name either. But but Kurt, his name is Kurt.
Yeah.
Just call him that.
The Thing looks kind of scary. Looks like he would be kind of a scary brute, potentially, but he's very nice and helpful.
Yeah. Well, he has another name, too.
That's true, Ben. Yeah.
Ben. Not X-Men this week. I read Manor Black. Mm-hmm. It's Cullen Bunn, but there's another writer as well, Brian Hurt.
Oh, they like co-wrote it?
Mm-hmm. And then art by Tyler Crook. All of it, obviously, because Tyler does all his own inking and watercolors, of course. This is pretty good. This is from Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. It is a horror comic.
Nice.
Patton Oswalt does a little,
did a little blurb
on the cover.
He has good taste in
and
comics.
Weird blurb, though. A soapy, eerie new comic that delivers as many laughs as it does jolts, often at the same time.
Okay.
And I read this comic, and I did not really understand the laugh
no laughs
part at all. And soapy, I was like,
like dramatic, like soap opera.
I was like, "That's a bad blurb for this comic." Patton. I don't even think he read this comic. Actually,
maybe that starts in the second issue. The laughs and the soapiness.
Maybe
it's all the issue two is just all soapy laughs.
I guess so. Maybe he was taking a bath and he read the comic and he was like, "Ooh, I got this all soapy."
A waterproof reader copy.
Maybe. Anyways. So basically it's about like an old, you know, kind of creepy looking house in this creepy little town.
Mm-hmm.
There's a car accident in the beginning and the whole car goes up into flames.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a perfect like burnt ring like around the car.
Yeah.
And they investigate the car. It's just four perfectly burned bodies.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Then there's also an older gentleman and his son.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is obviously some kind of like witch or warlock. He's having a conversation with a bunch of dead bodies in his house. and there's some kind of a curse that's like upon
the
house.
Okay, on the house specifically. Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's just like a very small town. They don't know what's going on in their town. And it kind of just jumps around back and forth between like the manor and the two police officers investigating like the weird burned house.
Okay.
And it has some pretty good like jump scare type stuff in it, where the sheriff and the autopsy or the coroner are like trying to figure out what's going on, and then all of a sudden like the sheriff is burning up into flames.
Ooh.
And his art is so good. And you know how he
draws flames really well.
He draws flames.
Maybe
awesome.
That's why he's always making things catch on fire. Because he's like, I'm so good at this.
So good. And just like the way he reflects light with his watercolors.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no one, like, if you look at, like, Dustin Nguyen mm-hmm. and the way he does light reflection,
yeah.
I think, and obviously he's great, but everything he does has so much light to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah. That's why he's always doing stuff in space.
Yeah.
Like, oh, in, like, the middle of the daylight.
Exactly. And, like, Tyler's always doing stuff so dark. And so yeah. he does really bright colors. Like, everything is in the dark. And then you have, like, that one bit of light, like, right in the middle, and you have these, like, bright reds and yellows. And
yeah.
It's just absolutely awesome. Beautiful, but haunting at the same time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, we don't know what this mystery quite is yet. Mm-hmm. You just know there's something going on with the sun and, like, this old doctor, this curse on this house, and it has something to do with these burned bodies.
Ooh.
And the sheriff is already dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what the mystery is going to unfold from there. I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, sweet.
It's
and it
really
looks like
cool,
it's all going to be based around this house yeah. and maybe these two detectives. Or were the two detectives just sort of like cannon fodder for the first issue, you think?
Well, one of them, and I think the coroner probably mm-hmm. is going to be investigating further. But yeah, the sheriff is definitely no more.
Sweet.
So, and I think it's only four issues, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's going to be over quick. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It was really good. Definitely. Art's amazing. I don't understand why it's a soapy laughter
yeah.
filled. No laughs whatsoever. The sheriff was really, you know, he wasn't even comical either.
Yeah.
He's
Patton
dead.
Oswalt just thinks it's funny that
the sheriff caught a fire.
I guess. It depends.
It was kind of sad. He seemed like a very nice sheriff.
Oh, okay. He was like a good cop.
He
man.
Was totally all a good cop. Yeah, all the cops. And the cops were both good guys. I don't know.
Huh. Well.
That was that. Did you read anything else this week?
I read the new issue of Lazarus that I didn't bring with me, and so I forgot what the title was, but it's the second.
Lazarus
of the,
X?
Yeah, Lazarus X, so it's the second of right. the quarterly Lazaruses. Right. And yeah, it's so good. It's a super action-packed issue. It starts off with a showdown between, or continuing the showdown between what's her name? The Carlisle family Lazarus forever, aka
forever,
Eve.
Yeah.
And she's fighting the Joaquim, her former lover, who it turns out is a robot, and his consciousness has been completely erased.
Right.
Because his family can do that remotely because they're like the technology people. And the other, like the D'Souza family or something, one of the lesser, sort of one of the background families. So it's her versus two other Lazari on a. On an oil rig. And man, the way that dude draws action sequences is so good. Like, you can
Michael
follow.
Lark.
Yeah, you can, like, follow the, like, sequence of the fight so well. And it's so cool. And then, you know, she gets almost killed and then has to go back home. And then there's some more business drama. And it looks like the tide is turning in favor of Carlisle. So the other families are getting kind of desperate. And at the end of the issue, we find out that they've sent, that the Vasilovka family has sent their sort of berserker, the dragon, the scariest character in the entire book, is now coming to the Carlisle compound specifically.
Forever?
Yeah. And it ends with him sort of coming out of the woods. And they foreshadow it really well. They're like, ooh, one of the motion detectors went off. It looks like it was a bear or something. We live in an area where there's lots of bears. And you know it's him.
It's obviously not a bear.
And then the final panel of the final page is him coming out of the woods and forever being like, tight, I've been wanting to have a rematch with this guy.
Oh, sweet.
So it's so good, but like every issue is such a bummer because then you know it's going to be three more months.
Right.
And you know it gets us that much closer to the end of the series.
Yeah.
And Rucka's done such a cool job like building this really intricate, interesting world. And you know that maybe we're not going to ever get to see any more of it, you know? Because there's still all the other mystery like Lazaruses that we've sort of seen in various panels.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like such an intriguing world. That it's kind of a bummer that we're not going to get to, there's not going to be any more stories in it.
Yeah, that sucks. Because it is the last of it, right?
I think, yeah.
I guess
that's
you
what
always
saying.
Go back
yeah,
to
that's
it,
true.
Too.
It's, yeah, one of those stories that's only going to get truer and truer as time goes on.
I know, that's the sad part. Maybe he doesn't want to do any more of it that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I think that's all the comics we did this week, right?
Yeah, news real quick?
Yeah,
probably got to get going.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes for news. We can bang through this. I don't know if any of us are going to care about this, but Showtime is finally adapting Halo for TV.
Oh, good. I've always wanted to have a TV show of a video game with really long cutscenes. What if it's just all of the Halo cutscenes just smashed together?
Ugh.
Wasn't there already that? Oh, I guess that was just web series, the Red Blue thing.
Yeah, and they put that on Netflix, I think, too.
Yeah.
And it was just like animated.
Yeah.
Like computer animated. I tried to watch some of it and I was like, oh, this is still in first person and it's making me nauseous.
Yeah, totally. And I could see like if somebody was really into the video game series, which was a fun game. I played it a little bit, but I was more of a PlayStation guy than an Xbox person when I was super into gaming.
I am too. So.
Yeah. I guess I still have an Xbox 360 somewhere, but haven't played it in years. But,
yeah.
You know, hey. If you're into Halo.
I feel like they're doing this like 20 years too late.
Yeah.
But is Halo like, popular?
There's already Starship Troopers. But I guess Halo does have like a pretty rich...
Wasn't Halo... No, I mean Starship Troopers. Or Halo was based on Starship Troopers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know. I'm just making that up. But fighting, I'm pretty sure that's where they got the idea.
Yeah, fighting an alien kind of bug race.
Yeah, and they totally look like the same like helmets and stuff
too. Yeah.
I have an idea. It's not original, but they're going to fight bugs.
Yes, Elon Musk of video games.
Yeah, totally.
Well, I guess Microsoft, yeah.
The six actors to pull... Six actors? That's it? Mm. They're like, we only need six actors because it's all going to be computer animated.
Yeah.
Natasha Michelone.
Okay.
Mick. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah. We encountered some casual racism in the store
inside
earlier
joke.
Today.
Okay. Yeah. Bokeem Woodbine.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I used to think he was a really shitty actor, and then he was in that season of Fargo where he was good.
Yeah, he was good.
And I'm
good.
Like, maybe he became a good actor. I guess that's possible. Yeah, you can get better at something.
You can. With just a lot of trying.
Yeah.
Shabana Azmi.
Okay.
Bentley Kalu, Natasha Kozak, and Kate Kennedy. Oh, they have a lot of ladies there.
That's cool. Yeah.
They all have signed on in named roles to join the previously casted Pablo Schreiber and Yevren Ha.
Okay.
Also, it looks like it has a pretty good, like, diverse cast, too.
Maybe it'll be fun. Maybe it'll be like kind of like an alien, like an ensemble adventure. Because the game itself does have, like, a lot of... I mean, there were so many... games that they had to really develop a shit ton of backstory for.
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
Like a pretty rich universe.
We still have lots of kids that come in too that ask for Halo graphic novels.
Yeah.
And make sure to always keep them stocked. So maybe kids will like it. Your kids watch a super violent video game show.
But they're killing bug aliens, so it's not like... It's not like real violence. I mean, it very much is real
violence.
And there'll
probably be lots of sex in it.
Yeah.
We'll add that to it. What else did we talk about? We also had... So we watched the first episode of The Boys.
Yeah, I watched
all of
them.
Or you watched all of them.
Yeah.
Okay, I watched the first episode
very
of The
good.
Boys.
Very good. On Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Such a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I was very shocked because I did not like the comic very much.
Me neither. I liked the idea of it.
Yeah,
and then
too.
I was like, okay, Garth Ennis, fucking relax, man.
Yeah, the plot's... It's a really good plot.
It's a cool idea.
It's a really cool idea to have like celebrity superstars, superheroes.
Who are like turn out to be like complete degenerates because they sort of live that very like elevated lifestyle.
Yeah.
And he kind of borrowed the idea, Alan Moore's idea of like this money for the superheroes coming from like merchandising and stuff.
Right.
That, you know, from The Watchmen, which Ozymandias did big time.
Yes, definitely.
And and the idea of like them presenting a very wholesome public face, but then in private being really bad people.
Awful people.
Yeah.
That first episode hits hard, too.
Yeah, corrupted by power.
Yeah. There's some cringeworthy scenes.
Yeah,
definitely
totally.
Trigger warning.
Yeah.
Trigger warning for some of the scenes in that show.
And Amazon does a good job of labeling everything.
They really do.
All the warnings. Like, okay, here's all the stuff that's going to hold.
They did a good job with that. When it first came up on the screen, I was like, holy shit. I was like, well, I know what this comic is about.
Yeah, totally.
Damn.
And they did a good job of, like, the writers, like, kept the good parts and then jettisoned all of the Garth Ennis super edgelord cool guy shit.
Yes.
That, like, really bogged down. Like, that comic did not need to be 70 issues or whatever it was.
Oh, my God. I know.
Could have been a 12-issue. Easily a 12-issue miniseries.
Probably,
would have been better.
Yeah. But they are going to do a second season. Like, it's been getting really great ratings. People are really happy with it.
Yeah, people have been coming in the store and asking for the comic, and I have to be like, yes.
However.
Well, we don't have the first trade in stock anymore.
Yeah, because it's on back.
I warn you, you might not enjoy it as much as you enjoy the show.
Yeah, the show is much better. They did a real good job cutting that down.
Carl Urban rules, man.
Yeah.
I think Carl Urban and Katie Sackhoff, my favorite celebrity couple.
Oh, are they together?
They are. Yeah,
that's
they're
really
married.
Cute.
They've been married for a while.
I heard that her new show on Netflix is fucking terrible.
Oh, really? Damn, that sucks.
What is that? Something on...
It's called Beyond... It's like a space thing.
Yeah, Beyond on Earth.
Yeah, space time.
Space,
Space Beyond.
We really want this to be a battle... Star Galactica, but it's not.
Yeah, beyond regular space into unknown space.
I actually went and looked for reviews that were not bad.
Oh, really?
And it does not exist.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, it looked good.
Yeah, I guess Carl's going to have to be the breadwinner in the family for a while then for season two of The Boys.
I feel bad for her. Like, she really needed something else.
I know. She was so good in Battlestar Galactica.
She really was. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll try to watch it anyways.
I'm
going to
at least check out the first episode because I really like her as an actor.
Yeah. Universal Studios is reported to make a giant theme park in Florida. They already have a giant theme park in Florida, but this is going to be more gigantic. And they're going to build over a giant estuary.
Yeah, and they're just, it's just going to be Jurassic Park.
It's just going to be Jurassic Park.
Yeah, kind of all they have now is Jurassic Park and Terminator, I
think. Yeah, maybe it could just be Jurassic Park, or you could be the Terminator in Jurassic Park,
cool.
And you can kill dinosaurs.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, then you're... I mean, we're going to turn into Skynet anyways, right? So
that's true. That's where we're headed.
You might as well. Build
cool
dinosaurs.
Skynet. It's going to be like lame Skynet. She's like, do you want to watch some TV? All right, jeez. There's not even any cool robots or anything. It's just all Roombas and Alexas and shit. Like, not even a cool exoskeletal Terminator.
Like, no, I don't want to watch TV. We're like, too mad. We're going to watch Big Bang Theory. We're like, no!
Can I at least have a mech suit? And they're like, no, we don't have those. We have self-driving cars, though. Like, fuck no! I want robotic wings so I can fly around. Is that too much to ask?
Yes.
I want
Iron
Man suit.
They are. I think they're making that.
Okay, good.
But you can't have it.
Yeah, that's true.
Only Iron Man can.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an AI Iron Man.
Lame.
I know. There are those giant or the small robots that fight still, right?
Yeah, the little battle bots.
Yeah.
Is
that still a show?
I don't know. Oh. It should be if it's not. It's a great idea.
Well, anyways, giant theme park. They are giving money to the Everglades, though.
That's cool.
So they're going to destroy one habitat and give money to another. And be like, see, we're okay.
Yeah, they'll have a thriving ecosystem for the dinosaurs to escape into.
Yeah.
Once they do that.
And they can breed with alligators.
Who
are basically dinosaurs and get bigger and make super dinosaurs.
Did you see that? Speaking of alligators, did you see that alligator movie?
I did.
Alligators or crocodiles?
They're alligators.
Know.
In Florida.
Yeah, okay, right.
Yeah. It's called Crawl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Sam Raimi produced it. Another horror guy directed it. It was good. Yeah, but I didn't understand is why the alligators were attacking everybody.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to be like super alligators, kind of like... they're just
regular alligators
during a hurricane.
Okay.
But it's still good. It's still fun.
And they're just going around eating people?
Yeah. The whole plot is this girl and her dad get trapped in the crawl space of their house where alligators have been living.
Oh, okay.
And then the alligators start like attacking them. And then a bunch of other people come by, like try to rescue them, and then they eat those people.
Okay.
And then
there's
just fucking alligators everywhere because of the hurricane, and they're just like eating everybody.
That's tight.
Yeah. So then are they mad because of the hurricane? Like, I didn't know alligators.
Yeah, they're extra hungry, maybe.
I guess.
Because they only eat like once a day or something, or every couple of days.
Or not even.
Because they're cold blooded.
Yeah, I think they only eat like once a week sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes not even that. So I don't know why these alligators were so fucking hungry.
Yeah.
And then, like, I know they protect like their young.
That's nice.
But, like, they don't just go around, like, eating people during hurricanes.
Yeah.
Like, they would try to get away from that shit. They'd be like, hurricane, run!
Yeah, if that was going to happen, it would have happened, right?
Yeah,
in Louisiana and Florida.
And Texas,
I guess, also.
Yeah.
Flooding.
Well. But I guess, like, these were just mad alligators. But it's fun. Like, try not to think about it too much.
Okay, yeah.
Then you're just like, oh, crazy alligator trying to eat people. Cool.
Yeah.
Then
it's like, why was Jaws attacking everybody?
Exactly.
Yeah, who knows?
It's like that.
It just was.
Yeah. So just
because it's scary,
but I don't know. I guess I imagine Jaws more hungry. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. You don't think about Jaws
more
as
nutritional
much.
Needs.
Yeah,
higher caloric needs.
He
every
was
day.
Just a really big shark.
Yeah.
Just really needed to eat.
Yeah.
But by Jaws 4, you're like, I don't believe that anymore. You're like, what?
Seems like he should be full by now.
Well, Jaws the Revenge.
Yeah.
It's like supposed to be like Jaws' son, and he's like hunting the wife at that point.
Cool.
He's getting his revenge.
Yeah, which, you know, fish love getting revenge.
Totally. They totally have brains for that. Now, you believe it in Deep Blue Sea,
where they're specifically made to be smart.
Yeah, they made their brains bigger with an electrical lightning bolt.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson and LL Cool J made the shark smart for some reason.
No, LL Cool J was the cook.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He had a talking parrot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Know your shark movies. They're the best.
Ooh, I thought it was the other piece of news we're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Keanu Reeves, rumored to be coming into the MCU.
Right, everyone's really excited about
Moon Knight,
it. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about who he could be.
Oh, yeah. And we think it'd be better to be Namor, right?
Yep. Yeah, Namor, he'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Slick back his hair, put him in a Speedo.
Totally. He doesn't have to have any expression on his face at all.
Yep.
He could talk to fish.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just telepathically communicates with fish, so he doesn't even have to talk at all.
No, doesn't even have to talk.
But I thought of another one that he could do just now.
Okay.
The Beyonder.
Oh, yeah.
But it's him in, like, Bill and Ted mode. So he's talking and is like, because Beyonder's kind of a dipshit, you know?
Right.
He gets a fucking Keanu Reeves, a white denim suit with a perm, and he's talking in the Bill S. Preston Esquire voice.
That would be so tight. He's already doing that voice right now because they're refilming, or not refilming, but they're doing the new Bill and Ted. So he's already... Yeah. Totally in that voice.
And I think that would be fun to introduce the Beyonder into the Marvel Universe on like sort of the comedic side, on sort of like the Thor, in like the Thor Ragnarok Deadpool kind of way.
Yeah. And they're already
Guardians
kind
of the Galaxy. Yeah. Even. He could fit perfectly into a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah. And they're doing Guardians 3. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Just this like sort of like dumbass, like full of himself, all powerful alien.
That would be cool. Yeah, or in Secret Wars, too.
Yeah, and it'd be fun turn for Keanu Reeves, too. Do something comedic and fun.
Yeah, instead of like too serious.
Yeah, because he's been so serious and he's been killing so many people for so long.
Yeah, that would be cool. I agree with that as well. Also, corrections department, really quick. Simu Liu has been cast as Shang-Chi. We were trying to guess who is going to be cast and... Turned out somebody was already cast.
Cool.
And he was from, what did you say he was from?
He was in like he's been in that Fresh Off the Boat series. So he's been in a Canadian sitcom.
Right.
But he was also a stuntman for a while. And he was in Orphan Black as sort of like in like an action kind of stunt role.
That's
so he has action stunt doing chops, which thank God, man.
And he is of Asian descent.
Right. Yes, he's Chinese-Canadian.
Very good. He's not Keanu Reeves.
Right,
but we were worried, maybe, that they would just cast Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. He would have been... I think he could have done a good job. But
yes, he's not... Well, he's like... Is he a Hawaiian? Is that what it was?
He's something like that,
yeah. All right. Well, maybe come back with the corrections department for that, too, next week.
Yeah.
All right. I'm Jessica Baldoni.
I'm Jesse.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye, everybody.